I am so glad that you're here, friend, for today's conversation on overcoming negative thought patterns or even just negative thought cycles. I believe this is something that we all face, but as followers of Jesus, we really have a unique opportunity to not only tackle them from this clinical perspective, but a biblical perspective. And I also like to say a practical perspective. But we also have to know that grounding ourselves in God's truth is the most important. So in this episode, we're really going to explore both the physiological aspects of negative thinking and how to align our thoughts with God's truth for that real change. But most of it's going to require us sitting in this tension, this uncomfortable feeling of change. And I can just see the hands now being raised. Who loves change? We desire for something in our life to change, but we don't like doing the things that cause change because it's uncomfortable. We're kind of in our own little tension per se. And it's something that I have to constantly remind my clients is that they're doing good work even when it feels uncomfortable, because it sometimes feels like you're regressing or not going in the right direction. So I'm constantly reminding my one-on-one coaching clients of this. So before we get started today, I just want to remind you that there are two ways that I can begin to help you really work through your own negative thought patterns. And one is by getting my course, Untangle Your Thoughts. And this is really a course designed to unpack your emotions, understand the underlying causes, and really begin to untangle your thoughts. This is about emotional clarity. It's thought transformation. I know that you want emotional stability. You want to feel less overwhelmed by your feelings and thoughts. And so sometimes the biggest breakthroughs come from breaking it down. So again, that's Untangle Your Thoughts. That's a self-paced course. You can go to jessicahoddle.com/heal to get that today. But also, if you know that you have tried every course and it is just not your thing and you need somebody to come alongside you and hold your hand and give you that accountability because you lack the trust in yourself to make the choices, you lack self-confidence, you want to overcome negative thinking, you want to learn how to regulate your emotions better. But most importantly, I think it comes down to you want to gain trust in yourself and gain trust in God again. And with that, I would love to come alongside you and be your personal guide, your coach. I am a mental health coach and trauma-informed coach where I really get to not just put a band-aid. I get to come alongside you because your mental health deserves more than just a band-aid. And so it's time to swap your overwhelmed for overcoming. And I'm here to help you flip that script on your inner critic. And you can go to jessicahoddle.com/mental health coaching, book a free 20-minute consultation today. Wherever you're listening to this episode, in the show notes, there's going to be a link for you to go right to it, and then you can go ahead and schedule your time and fill out the form as well. Okay, let's get into this conversation. Hey friend, do you want to overcome negative thoughts? Do you want to be able to discern whether it's your feelings telling you what to do or God? Are you praying for a mental breakthrough? I'm here to say that numbing out does not have to be your only option. Hard and bad things have happened in this world that need a safe space to be processed, and the church should be one of those places, and this podcast is one of those places. I'm Jessica Hoddle, a board-certified master mental health coach, author, and speaker. I help women overcome negative thought patterns to regain control of their lives. More importantly, I'm the big sister who is going to tell you the truth because I care. In this podcast, we're going to be talking about feelings, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll be talking about practical ways to take care of your emotional and mental health while never losing sight of God. We're also going to be talking about how to study your Bible so that you can grow a deeper relationship with God. So pull up a chair, join me at the table. Let's get to the bottom of what's holding you back. I'm sure there has been a time or two, even right now in this moment, where you are thinking about something that is not good. Maybe you're dreading that ride to work or thinking about what you have to do for your kids or feeling like a terrible mom or feeling like a terrible wife or just overwhelmed with everything going on and you feel like you're not living up to the standard that you have for yourself. Or maybe you recognize that your marriage is crumbling and you just keep thinking, what did you do wrong? Why is this happening? And maybe you even have these feelings of anger towards God. No matter what your life circumstance is, I bet we can all say that from those painful moments, we have built these negative thought patterns. So from a clinical standpoint, negative thinking patterns are often referred to as cognitive distortions. They are biased ways of thinking that really reinforce negative beliefs and emotions. So some of these we are very familiar with is all or nothing. Raise your hand who thinks all or nothing. We also do catastrophizing or personalizing everything that happens. So for example, you might think something like, I always mess things up. This is an all or nothing. Or it's all my fault that this went wrong. Maybe I should have done this. Maybe I could have done this and my husband wouldn't have done this or this person wouldn't have said this. Personalization. These distortions really create these mental loops that keep us feeling stuck. And I can almost guarantee that you felt stuck. It is one of the reasons my one-on-one coaching clients come to me because they feel stuck. Catastrophizing is also a cognitive distortion, and this is where the person assumes the worst possible outcome. It's often imagining the most extreme and unlikely scenarios. For example, if you make a small mistake at work, you might think, I'm going to get fired, even though that outcome is highly unlikely. So this thought pattern exaggerates potential negative consequences, leading to increased anxiety and stress. So from a biblical perspective, though, these patterns are a form of deception. Satan is called the father of lies in John 8:44. And when we allow these negative, distorted thoughts to dominate, we're accepting lies instead of the truth that God speaks over us. So it's important that we recognize these distortions, these patterns, so that we can actually begin to break free from them. And now, before we even get into those big things, I also like to say sometimes we just need to recognize when we need a nap, proper nutrition, and maybe even our blood work done. It all impacts each other. Whenever my one-on-one coaching clients start with me, we even talk about these things of how are you eating? What's going on in your life? How's your stress level? Because it's important. Your mental ability, your mental capacity is impacted by what's going on in our body, what we're feeding it. Are we moving our bodies? What do our hormones look like? And so when my coaching clients come to me, I try to look at them as a whole person, whole person. So we even see in scripture where so many times these people were wanting to just be like, God, take me now. Just take me. My life is over. Like we see Jonah kind of throwing this at God. We see Elijah doing this. And it's just really, some of them need a nap, some proper nutrition, some just getting that food, but getting that rest. And other times like Jonah, you just needed your mind to be shifted. So one impacts the other. And so I have these conversations with my one-on-one coaching clients that for years they have spent believing lies, not intentionally, about themselves and about who they are. Because when we hear something for so long, we begin to believe it's true. And when we are working together, it's important for us to be able to identify what is true versus what is a lie. Meaning, was this actually spoken to them? This is what I do with my clients. Or are they just stories that we have made up that we think people are thinking about us? So I want you to take a moment and reflect on negative thoughts that you've had. Can you identify which one it is? Are you an all or nothing? Are you catastrophizing? Are you personalizing? Or is it something else? recognizing it is the first step in untangling it. So now let's look at this from a neurological perspective. Negative thinking patterns are often the result of neural pathways that have been repeatedly reinforced over time. I talk about this in my course, Untangle Your Thoughts. I talk about this also in a lot of my biblical studies, stress and anxiety, anger, forgiveness. These are things that we have constantly repeated and we have reinforced. And in my book, Face Off With Your Feelings, I actually talk about how a thought pattern starts off kind of like a dirt path. And then the more that you think that way, it becomes, you know, a very paved path, and then it becomes a highway, and then it becomes a 6-lane highway. And before we know it, we have multiple thoughts of the same thing running our mind because we've continued to meditate, we've continued to reinforce it. And we also look at other people and other things to affirm the belief that we carry. So if there's a negative thought pattern that we have that we always mess up, for example, it's always our fault. Anything that happens to us, we're going to take that and say, see, this is what happens. And so we claim it and then we reinforce it. And this is why negative thoughts can feel automatic because they've just literally been wired into our brains. So the more we engage with a particular thought pattern, the stronger those neural connections become, making it easier for the brain to default to that negative thinking. I mean, let's think about this for a second. How often are you in a conversation with somebody and you leave and you're just thinking all these positive thoughts about how the interaction went and how great you thought you did? No, it's typically the opposite. But the good news is that our brains are highly capable and adaptable through a process called neuroplasticity. And this really means that we can rewire our thought patterns by intentionally creating new, healthier neural pathways. I do talk about this extensively, again, in different forms, which is my course, in my books, and in with my one-on-one coaching clients, depending on what level you need right now. So that means that just as negative thinking is learned, positive truth-based thinking can also be learned and strengthened. Because if not, then Romans 12:2 would not matter, where it tells us to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If it was not possible to think differently, to live differently, and to act differently, then we would not have the opportunity or command to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. It just wouldn't be possible. Scriptures like that of think about what is true, right, and pure would not be an option for us. If we were really stuck, if this was the only life, if this was the only thought that we were capable of happening. Because the biblical concept aligns closely with the neuroplasticity. The more we focus on the truth, God's word, and align our thoughts with His, the more we can reshape our minds and break free from these harmful thought cycles. As a mental health coach and trauma-informed coach, I help my clients identify their distorted thinking, challenge it, and replace it with more accurate, balanced thoughts. But this takes time. They know me when I start to say your emotional thinking is starting to raise above their rational thinking because most of the time their prefrontal cortex is not even on because they cannot think beyond their pain and what they've experienced and even any trauma that they've had. And so this process really mirrors the biblical principle found in 2 Corinthians 10:5. We take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. So here's just an example of how we can do this briefly. Now, I'm not trying to oversimplify. I'm not trying to, you know, it's just think something positive. No, this isn't about thinking positive because I always tell my coaching clients that if you are going to deconstruct something, you have to reconstruct something. So it's not just about telling them, don't think that. Because they'll often say, well, I just don't want to think like this anymore. Okay, great. But we can't just say, I don't want to think this way. We actually have to tell our brains or our mind, I should say, where we want that thought to go. So here are a few steps of how we do this. We have to identify the negative thought. So we have to start by noticing this automatic negative thought you're experiencing. Then we want to challenge the thought. You want to ask yourself, is this really true? Or what evidence do I have that supports or contradicts this thought? And again, my clients know I'm going to say it, is you have to look at the history. What's the history of this relationship, this situation that typically plays out? It's very much like scripture where it talks about feed on his faithfulness. Look back on what God has done and the good and know that his track record is good. Now, I know that's going to play a part in how you view God and how you're living that out of how you're going to think that God is good and been in your life. I get that. Kind of another topic for another day. But we want to identify the negative thought first. Then we want to challenge it by asking those questions. Is this true, or what evidence do I have that supports or contradicts? And then we have to replace the thought. Where do I want my mind to go? What other scenarios can I take a step back and look at and be objective here, not as emotional? Or are you catastrophizing or personalizing or making this all or nothing? You might think, I'm worthless. I'm not good enough. I don't deserve this. And then we have to look at scripture and say, where does our worth come from? Who does see our worth? Who does say that we have value? And do we believe that's good enough, right? But identify, challenge, replace. You have to know where you want that thought to go and what thought you want to think. So again, it's not just about saying, I don't want to think this anymore. Well, we have to guide our thoughts. We have to say, here's where it was going, and now you're going to reroute it and go somewhere else. So think of a negative thought you've had recently. I want you to challenge it. Is it based on fact or a distortion of reality? And then I want you to think about that biblical truth that you can do to replace it. These things might sound oversimplified, and that is not what I'm trying to do here. But these basic things get us moving in the direction that we need to go. As things become more aware, as you become more aware of the things that you've encountered, or just more aware of your thought process, the beliefs that you're carrying, it's hard to move forward when the old beliefs are keeping you down. One of the most common negative thinking patterns is rumination. And that's when we continuously replay negative thoughts or events in our minds. And physiologically, rumination is just linked to these increased anxiety, these feelings of anxiety. And it keeps us focused on the problem rather than solutions. The Bible tells us to fix our mind on what is true, noble, and praiseworthy, as I mentioned earlier, and that's Philippians 4:8. I'm sure you've heard of practicing gratitude. And it's something that we have heard so much that we almost take it for granted of how easy this can be, right? To really think about the goodness of God, not what people have done to us. So overcoming these negative thought patterns or thinking patterns, it's gonna be a process. And it takes practical steps. It takes God. It takes biblical. By understanding, though, the factors behind these patterns can really help us begin to step forward into transformation. We have to remember that our thoughts are not the final authority. God's word is. I want to say that again, that your thoughts are not the final authority. God's word is. So as you practice this cognitive reframing, just remember this is going to take time. I'm with you. I'm here for you. I believe in you. I know God is with you. And if this episode helped you or encouraged you, will you share it with someone who might benefit from it? But also, I know I mentioned a couple things in this episode that can help you, whether it's starting with one of my biblical studies or my book, Face Off With Your Feelings, or maybe it's getting that self-paced course to really work through on your own, where I have lessons and homework with each lesson so that you are not only learning, but you are applying. I love the practical approach. Anybody else? But if you're like, I just have tried doing this on my own and I can't, then please book a free 20-minute consultation with me to see how we can grow together. As always, don't forget to challenge the way you think to change the way you live. I hope you loved today's episode. I pray that it challenged you to see the goodness of God in your life and that whatever you are going through, God is with you and not punishing you. Share this episode with someone who has been praying for a mental breakthrough. Sometimes all we need is someone explaining something in a new and fresh way to get that breakthrough. Also, would you take 30 seconds to leave me a rating and review? It brings me so much joy to read them, and it's a way that lets me know you're enjoying the podcast. Lastly, go get my free 3-day study on how to deal with emotions in a biblical way. Psalm 18:19 reminds me of this. God delivers you because he delights in you. Don't forget that. I'll see you in a few days.